Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. And we'll take care of some unfinished business. You may have thought we ended the gospel last week. I found two words that need to be exegeted and studied a little more. Two words. Let's find them. Mark 16. We're landing in about verse 6 and 7. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He is not risen," or "he has risen. He is not here. Behold, here's the place they laid him." Verse 7. "Go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Two words that calm our troubled souls today. Wherever we're at, dealing with whatever we're dealing with, two words connect with every one of us this morning. They may sound so simple, it's so easy to miss them, but we don't want to miss them. And here's the two words: and Peter. And Peter. Connect yourself into the flow and the truth of the text in front of us and those two wonderful words, and Peter. We have one key truth that drives us out of the text and into life this week. Our key truth out of this passage: experience can be a hard teacher, but lessons learned are your key to life success. Experience in life, the experiences of life, life itself is not always easy. Experience can be a hard teacher, but the lessons learned in those hard experiences will be key to our success in life. And when we fall, when we fail, when we stumble, or life from the outside comes in that we didn't order and won't order, failure need not be fatal. It need not be final. It need not be forever. Well, as we've jumped into the flow of the gospel and the life of Jesus again, we've seen the activity revolving around the Apostle Peter. And likely the worst moment of his life. That leaves us all with a question. What happens? How do I deal with failure? But what happens if we will move to Jesus after we fail? We all fail. If you weren't aware of that, just ask the person next to you. Am I batting 100% every day all my life? The scriptures tell us we've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We all fail. Life after failure is the heart and the hope of the gospel message. Well, our study today illustrates the full circle of the gospel message in the life of Peter. As you think of the life of Peter, think of three F's. That deal with his experiences and the lessons that he learns within those three F's. The three F's are failure, then forgiveness, and then faithfulness. Peter is marked by failure. How nice that's recorded. His failures are recorded for all of us today. But there's forgiveness for Peter, offered by Christ. And after that forgiveness, we see, and we will see, the faithfulness Peter exhibits through the rest of his life. You see, failures don't have to be final, don't have to be fatal, don't have to be forever. We step into the scriptures, and there are four scenes that are going to jump out at us this morning. The first scene, basically coming out of the text that we've already read earlier, as Christ is being interrogated prior to the cross, and some of the torture has begun, and Peter is out there by the fire. Scene number one is failure at the fire. See, it's a bigger challenge to walk the talk than talk the talk. Peter has been confident, arrogant, boastful, that Jesus can always count on him, especially in comparison to everybody else. How does Christ respond to Peter's failure? That challenges us as how we respond to our own failure, how we respond to the failure of others. One option is get out of here. Wouldn't that have been natural for Christ to say to Peter? But it's just the opposite. Go to Galilee and prepare to meet me. There is a whisper of hope within Peter's failure that piques our interest, that invites us to rendezvous with Jesus. What a golden opportunity there is for us here. This gospel, the Gospel of Mark, ends with the hope of the resurrection. It also ends with hope for us in our failures. There's scene one, failure at the fire. Now let's go to scene two, and to that you need to come with me as we finish up the Gospel of Mark, to John chapter 21, and we'll be in John the majority of our time, the rest of the day today. John 21, we find the second scene. It is also failure. Failure at fishing. John 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested, revealed himself to his disciples. This is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He reveals himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. He's told them, go to Galilee. Here's the rendezvous point. He revealed himself in this way to Simon, Peter, Thomas, Didymus, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples together. John doesn't give the full listing there, but verse 3, Simon Peter said to the remaining 11, the other 10, actually, men, I'm going fishing. And they said, save us a spot in the boat. We will come with you. And they went out into the boat, likely was Peter's boat. It's very specific language there. And that night they caught what? Nothing. They caught nothing. And remember, these guys knew how to catch something. They were very skilled, successful fishermen. If we step into scene two, failure at fishing. Even a good fisherman can have a bad day. For Peter, it's been somewhat of a bad week or a bad weekend. One word jumps out at us. You can write this into your notes, and that is the word regression. Regression. Regression means going backwards. Peter is wandering back into his past comfort zone. And that is a great point of danger. Some of us may be familiar with an older hymn. Maybe you heard it in church growing up. Some of the words, the lyrics, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And that's a reminder for me, it's a reminder for all of us that wandering comes naturally, so easily, like second nature. And there's the sense that Peter is restless, waiting for Jesus to show up. Maybe that connects with you. It ought to connect with all of us. It's a helpful reminder as we go through life. We tend to become restless quickly, especially in our instant culture today. We tend to become restless quickly, and this is a dangerous time because naturally we can begin to be aimless, reckless, waiting for what we're hoping for, what we want Jesus to do. There's a life lesson for all of us in this moment from this text. We are reminded that our goal in life is bigger than our comfort, bigger than our safety, bigger than our security. Those are all natural concerns in every one of us. But our goal in life, to honor God, to bring glory to God, is going to be bigger than our comfort, bigger than our concerns for safety and security. And it's wider than just mindlessly wandering in circles at the same time. And there's a question for all of us. On the wonder of God versus the wandering that I so naturally do in my life. Where am I on a meter of captivated by the wonder of God and aimlessly, recklessly wandering in my life? And this is an issue that every day we're kind of across the board, probably every moment we're bouncing all across the board and from one extreme to the other. It's always good for us to hit the pause and do a little self-reflection, self-evaluation on our wonder meter, our awe of Christ, and just versus our aimlessly, maybe even going through the motions. Well, one word that jumped out at us was the word regression. Peter's wandering back into his past comfort zone, and we want to see the danger there. Another word that jumps out at us in verse 4 and 5 is the word rebuke. Rebuke. John 21, verse 4. The day was breaking. Jesus stood on the beach. His disciples did not yet know that it was Jesus, didn't quite recognize him. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you not have any fish? Children, have you caught anything?" That word children means exactly that, almost babies. And it's almost like, do we sense a little sarcasm from Christ there? It's intended to catch their attention. I think it's intended to catch the attention of the reader here. It's going to be instructive. There's a reason and a purpose for this, but that captures our attention. Remember who they are, where they've just come from, what's all been going on up until this point. guys, children, you haven't caught anything, have you? There's a tad of rebuke, and let me unwrap that for us a little bit. There's an element that Peter is wandering. There's also an element that Peter is drifting. Drifting independent of Jesus. And that's a danger that should capture our attention and our evaluation. Drifting is an unproductive way to live life. Just drifting takes you into areas that you really didn't intend to go and you don't want to go, but you just kind of end up there because you weren't doing anything else. Drifting is an unproductive way to live life. It's an unproductive way to get kingdom work done. No fish is fisherman language for failure. And in all this moment, Peter and the other 11 are being taught a lesson by Christ that is valuable for us to learn as well. And that's inability. Our inability versus God's abilities. We're in chapter 21, but come back with me to John 15 and verse 5. We're going to drop into another conversation that Jesus has with his disciples just right before the cross. We're just going to drop in and grab one verse from here. John 15, verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For, and here's what we want to catch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What is Jesus telling them? What is he telling us today? Without me, nothing gets accomplished. Without me, there's no success. And as this conversation is going on from the shore out to the ship, Jesus is stressing that, and that's one of the lessons to come out of their experiences of working all night, fishing all night, coming up with nada, zip, zero. When we do our own thing, we catch nothing of eternal value. That's our life lesson from there. Well, two words, and Peter, and we've had failure at the fire, failure in the boat, failure in fishing. There's just failure all over the place in this text. Is there any encouragement? Is there anything positive, or is it all negative? Come back with me to chapter 21, verse 6 and 8, scene number 2. Failure at the fire, failure at fishing. Scene 3, verse 6. And they answered him, no, we haven't caught anything. And Jesus said to them, we'll fish on the other side. Cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. Here's a request. Word jumps out at us. Request. It's really a little stronger than that, the command. I want you to switch tactics, techniques. And make a change. I was fishing on it's either the Columbia or the Snake River with my friend Phil. On his boat, and we go up, and after we put the boat in the river, and we go up to the grain elevators and troll down the river past the park, I like fish, and I got my fishing tackle there. It was like this by this. I've got every lure imaginable, and like I'm trying everything and I'm catching nada, zip, nothing. Phil at the back of the boat, I mean, he wasn't like lighting up the scoreboard, but when he gets one a trip and I get nothing a trip, the ones start adding up. And I'm trying every kind of lure, and Phil just keeps going with the same old thing and same old thing. And finally, it's like there's a hint of exasperation in his voice. He hands me his rod with his bait, and he goes, "Here, you've got to catch something." It was somewhat of a request, and it was very nice. You know, I had an opportunity right there. I could have told him to eat rocks. I could have thrown the rod back at him. I could have thrown my tackle box at him. I could have jumped overboard and swam to shore and said, "If you think I'm a failure as a fisherman, you can keep fishing, I quit." I had all kinds of options. These men have all kinds of options to the request of Christ. And what did they do? So they cast and then, so they followed Jesus' the advice or request, they cast, and then they were not able to haul in the net because of the great number of fish. Jesus' request begins with a test. It's a test of obedience for all 11. Has to do with their relationship with Jesus. And it's instructive for us today. It gives us some lessons. It asks us three questions, and three questions are good for us to look at every day of our life. Number one, will I do what God tells me to do? Number two, will I be who God tells me to be? Number three, who do I credit? Who will I credit for all the fish in the boat? For all my good moments? It's natural for us to say, "My, look what I did. Look how great I am. Look how great a fisherman I am. Look how great a person I am, a businessman, a parent, whatever." Take all the credit. The request begins with a test of obedience. It ends with truth. The revelation of who controls all success. There's fish in the boat because Jesus is doing the fishing. Here's a life lesson for us. Living is most productive on the right side of the boat. The right side, the Jesus side, the side that matches up with his words, his commands, his principles, his example. You want success in life? Here's the lesson to learn. Fish live on the right side of the boat. Trust Christ and obey his word. Well, failure at the fire, failure at fishing, fish in the boat, now it's getting exciting. Now it's getting smile time, smile season. One last scene, dropping into verse 9, but actually it's going to take in a large section of what remains of this chapter. Let's look at verse 7. "Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for the work. He threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat. They were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw three things." Scene number four. feast on the beach. There is something even better than a boat full of Jesus fish. And that is breakfast with Jesus on the beach. Connection with Jesus. Stuff with Jesus taken care of, dealt with, behind us. We move from request to realization in verse 7. It is the Lord. That calls us all to realization moments. To a realization moment right now. A challenge and an invitation. Who is Jesus Christ? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Gives us these words. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Born again, find peace with God on God's terms. The most important issue you will ever deal with in life is who is Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. The question is he your personal Savior? And verse 9 of Romans 10 tells us how we get there. It's an intellectual understanding about the identity of Christ. He is God the Son. It is a belief coming out of us. It's a conviction, a confidence that Jesus is God the Son and that what he did on the cross, illustrated by the triumph over the tomb, is my path. My bridge, my only bridge to God's peace. I ask you this morning, if there's come a time in your life where you have said yes to Jesus Christ, you are God the Son. You are my Savior. I invite you to do that if you haven't done that right now. For all of us in the room, for all of us who are now Christ followers, there is a reality for us to deal with every day. It is the Lord. And 1 John 1:9, written to believers, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter, failure, forgiveness, lessons learned, a life of faithfulness. As we talk about him in the future, we find it won't be a life of perfection, but it will be a life characterized by faithfulness. It is the Lord. He is Savior and he is forgiver, and we are all to come to him, and we all need to come to him right now. Jesus is my Lord. A life lesson for us as we step onto the beach and walk the beach is that we need to correctly identify Jesus Christ. Well, we're not quite done. We step onto the beach, and what do we see? We sense there's a reception, there's also a reconnection. We won't spend much time on the reconnection, but allude to it just a little bit. But we want to notice the reception of Christ. Remember who he's talking to? What they've done? They've betrayed him. They've abandoned him prior to the cross and at the cross. Not been there for him. But Jesus doesn't write him off. He's invited them here for this moment, for a time of restoration, reconnection. We notice his reception. We had three F's at the beginning for Peter: failure, forgiveness, faithfulness. Three more F's as we close this morning. Number one, helps if we get to the right passage. Number one, verse 9. They got to the land and they saw a charcoal what? Fire. Already laid out. Fire. Our fourth F. Remember anything about a fire and Peter earlier? Remember the failures at the fire? I think there's an intentional connection going on with Peter. Connection from the present to the past. His past failures in the courtyard. It's a reminder for us that sin must always be dealt with. We deal with sin by confessing it. What's that mean? God, what I did was wrong. It violated your holy standard. I confess it as wrong. I ask your forgiveness. I'm making a commitment that if I had to do it over, and if I have this opportunity in the future, I'd make a different decision because I want to honor you. That's all tied in with biblical confession. Forgiveness. Peter's failure fires have been immense. And maybe you're thinking of your failures. They're huge. Huge fires. But our failure fires will burn out next to God's forgiveness fire. Jesus has invited these men and welcomed these men onto the beach. And in these moments, he is inviting you, welcoming you onto his beach. To reconnect. Reconnection means we deal with our sin biblically, through confession, through repentance. Jesus is calling Peter to remember the lessons learned from the fire moment. He's calling us to remember the lessons we've learned from our fire moments, our fire experiences. Well, we've got fish, I just told you what number two was. Verse 9. They saw a charcoal fire already laid out, and what was on it? Okay, I told you. What else is there at the fire? Fish. One more F. Fish. How were these guys doing fishing that night? Absolutely terrible until Jesus comes into the equation. They are now pulling their fish to the shore. They haven't quite got the fish there. Jesus got the fire going. He's already got fish on the fire. It reminds Peter, it reminds all of us, God does not depend on human efforts, on human talent to accomplish his will. But when he steps into our lives, what a difference it makes. We've seen that on the boat. He's illustrating what will happen in the future with them. And here's a reminder to us. 5 seconds of fishing on the right side of the boat is a whole lot more productive than 5 hours of fishing on the wrong side of the boat. 5 seconds with Jesus Doing it Jesus' way is more productive than 5 hours of doing it our own way without Christ in the equation. We're called to remember the lessons learned from the fish moment, from the fish experiences of life. Well, that brings us to one last F. Let's see if we can find it. So they got to the land. They saw a charcoal fire already laid out, fish placed on it, and what else? Bread. Well, that doesn't fit, does it? It starts with a B. Fire, fish, and frosted flakes. Frosted flakes are great. They're sort of breakfasty. Bread. There's fire, there's fish, there's bread. And do you see a connection there yet? Jesus is taking Peter back to the past. He's taking all 11 disciples back to the past. The fire reminds them of some failures. The fish reminds them of their frustration and their inability to be productive. And then a couple times in their life experience with Jesus, they've ended up with a boatload of fish. What about the bread? Do you remember anything about bread and Jesus and disciples and thousands and thousands and thousands of hungry people? We go back just a couple chapters. Feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Feeding of the 4,000. What did Jesus use to feed all those people? Fish and bread. And remember the lesson? There was always enough. There was plenty left over. Jesus is calling Peter. He's calling the 11. He's calling us to remember the lessons learned from past experiences. Two key words, and Peter. One key truth, experience can be a hard teacher, but lessons learned will be the key to our life success. Let's end with a couple of life lessons that we see here that we can take into this week. Number one, deal with your past and be free. Come to Christ. Let's deal with our sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all our past. Mistakes we've made, sins we've done, stuff that other people may have done to us. Deal with your past. Confess what we need to confess. Seek God's forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness and move forward free. He's the chain breaker. Don't take your chains out of here today. Number two, or in this particular section, accept your humanness and God's goodness. Our humanness means we can't handle everything in life. Even when our heart is pure, our intentions are good, we can't fix the world. Sometimes we can't even fix ourselves. But when you bring God in the equation, there's no limitation. We need to accept our inabilities. We need to gravitate to his abilities. And we trust his heart in the process. And lastly, don't skip breakfast. At the beach with Jesus this week. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus is even better than a boat full of Jesus fish. Your relationship with Jesus, that personal intimacy, is far more significant than any other blessing that he may bring into our life. Lessons learned are key to our life success. Well, as we've looked at Peter, perhaps the Spirit of God has provoked or promoted some thinking in our life. What unfinished business is there between us and Jesus? Take the step toward him. Run those life lessons and those actions, life actions that the text calls us to, run those through your life and run to him and find the joy of breakfast on the beach with Jesus. Father, we thank you for your great grace that is exhibited in the life, toward the life of Peter and the rest of these disciples. We are amazed and will be amazed as we follow along and see what a difference there is in the life of Peter as he walks closely with his Lord and Savior in the power of the Spirit of God in the days ahead. That piques our interest. It grounds us in emotional stability. It challenges us to be who God's called us to be, all for the glory of Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen.